So we're up to, almost up to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. The Mishnah, well, let's put it this way. We actually got up to the Mishnah of Machzirin Ritia B'Migdash Avalo B'Medina. And that's the second Mishnah of the three Mishnayos on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. We started the Gemara, but we didn't complete the Gemara. So let's just review so that we can complete this Gemara and start the Mishnah of Koshrim Neima B'Migdash. What we had is the following. We spoke about the fact that this Ritia has a certain absorption of shemen in it. And as a result, when he puts the ritia on and he is smoothing this kind of an oily substance into his body, into his skin, it is a violation of meleches memachek. However, it's only derabbanan because he has the medium of the ritia, the bandage. In other words, he's not taking the oil and directly smearing it into his body. He's doing it through the intermediary of the ritia, and that therefore reduces, or shall we say, lowers the violation by one level from a doraisa to a drabanon. Hence the distinction between migdash and medina. And we had a whole long discussion, if you recall, about a sugi at the end of Masechta Beitza with regard to the Kohen who's actually involved in the Avoda. And he has to take off this Ritiyah because otherwise it will not be Velokach HaKohen. He will not have direct contact with the Mizrak, with the receptacle to receive the Dam. And we had to be matir on his behalf, allowing him to replace the ritiyah when he finishes the avoda, because otherwise he wouldn't want to get involved in the avoda from the get-go. And that sugya in Beitza seems to reflect the opinion that we might actually be involved in a violation of Meleches Memareach Da'oraisa, so that the only way that we could be matir it is for the sake of the Avoda. So it's the Avoda that overrides the Iser Memachek. That makes sense before he started the Avoda, but when he replaces the Ritia afterwards, how is that allowed? And then we said, Matirin Sofa Mishum Tchilasa. That's what we discussed yesterday. Okay. So let's start now with, let's see where we want to start. You know what? Let's review the Braisa of Rabbi Yehuda so that we can get the final Pesach Halacha. Tana Rabbanan, Ritia Sheperisha Me'al Gabi Maka. Here we're going to have a Chumra of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say Machzirin Osa B'Shabbos, that even in Medina, we're not going to apply the Gzera of Nirek Kimimachik, and the reason for that is because it's a Milsalo Shchicha V'lo Gazur Be Rabbanan. In other words, this whole situation where he had a ritia that was absorbed with oil and it fell off of his maka, and now he wants to put it back on, that's a very unusual set of circumstances. And Rabbi Yehuda insists on applying the gzeira in any event. And he only allows you to sort of juggle it, if you recall, in a case where the ritia has moved to one side or the other, and that's called huchlika. It's sort of slipped out of its place, covering the maka, and it fell either lamata or lamala in one direction or the other. It fell off the maka. So in both cases, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say dochaka. In other words, you're allowed to push it back into place. So if it fell lamata, you could push it back lamala. If it fell lamala, then you could push it back lamata. And all these methods are less than a full-fledged hachzara, meaning when the Rabbanan formulated and acted this gzera, they did so in a case of chazara. Cases that are less than chazara or different than chazara were not included under Rabbi Yehuda's gzera. So one example would be dochaka, where he's just pushing it back into place. He's not actually, you know, the ritiyah has not fallen off, such that he's now replacing it. And another case where it's an unusual kind of chazara is megala mixas ritiyah umekaneach pia maka, and chozer megala mixas ritiyah umekaneach pia maka. So what he's allowed to do is he sort of can remove the ritiyah piecemeal, meaning not completely and not totally, but partially. Because what he needs is, if he needs to expose part of his wound for purposes of health, it's beneficial. So what he's allowed to do is he's allowed to expose part of the ritiyah, and then he's able to clean off the ritiyah. To expose part of the maka and clean out the maka and then replace the ritiyah to that half of the maka, and then he could now expose the other half of the maka and then be mekaneach that maka, that half of the maka, I should say. And all this he's allowed to do, but ritiyah atzma lo yikaneach mipnei shu mimareach v'im merach chayav chatas. In other words, if the entire maka was exposed, and now he wants to put the ritiyah atzma back onto the maka in such a way that he's now directly applying the mishcha, this ointment, into the body, into his maka, then he has violated meleches mimareach. If he did it b'shogeg, he brings a chatos. If he did it b'mezid, he's chayav skila. Amar Rav Yehuda, this is where we got up to yesterday. Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yehuda. In other words, if the ritiyah fell off, he's not allowed to replace it. And if he's going to apply the mishcha through this ritiyah onto his maka directly, then he's chayav achatos. Amar Rav Chizda says that we're not going to accept the shita of Rav Yehuda, hook, line, and sinker, but rather lo shanu ela shepirsha al gabi kli. The kula of the chachamim applies in a case where the ritiyah with its mishcha absorbed inside of it fell onto a kli. Let's say he had a pillow or a mattress, and it fell on top of this pillow or mattress. It did not fall onto the ground. And in that case, the Rabbanan say you have two pluses. It's tarte litivusa, because number one, we're going to say that the kli itself is not considered a mais of hachzara. In other words, the ritiyah did not fall onto the ground. If it didn't fall onto the ground, then it's still, so to speak, connected. You know, very often, you know, you and I might remember that sometimes we have a Band-Aid and we put the Band-Aid on top of the table and then we put it back on. And number two, he's not applying the mishcha directly into his body, which would be meleches memareach d'oraisa. So when we put together A plus B, then the chachamim, the Tanakhama, will allow you to replace the ritiyah. Aval pirsha al gabi karka. If, on the other hand, the ritiyah fell off completely and it's now lying on the ground, in this case, when he replaces the ritiyah, it's like a nesina chadasha. It's like a brand new It's like Tchilas HaNesina. We can say it's a brand new Nesina. It's not a Hachzara, which we said was a Milsalo Shchiach. It's not like an old Ritiyah that fell off and now he's putting it back on. The old Ritiyah is gone. It's history. And now it is a new Ritiyah. And as we said in the Mishnah, we are not allowed to put a new Ritiyah on a wound, and that's an Iser in Medina because of the Drabanan. And that looks like Mimareach. We allowed Chazara because it was a Milsalo Shchicha, but that's only if it's really Chazara. If it's not Chazara, but rather it's Nesino Lechatchila, he's not doing a Maisa of being Machzir Lahachzir Saratia, then it's included in the original enactment, the Gzered Rabbanon, of Nesinas Ritiya Gabimak, which is prohibited. Omar Marbar of Ashi Avika Imna Kame Abba. I was in the presence of Rav Ashi, my father. Nafla Le Abe Sadya. His Ritiya, his bandage, fell onto a pillow. Sadya is a car. Vikama Hadarle. And he replaced it. But wait a second. What do you mean he replaced it? We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And if so, Rabbi Yehuda said, you're not allowed to be machzir eriti on Shabbos. Amida le lo sovra le mar. You know, he speaks to his father like in third person, because his father is his Rebbe also. Is Laha, did you not hear about the statement of Omer Rav Chisda, Machlokes Shepirsha al Gabi Kli, Aval Pirsha al Gabi Karka Osur? And Viomer Shmuel Halacha Kir Rabbi Yehuda. So, in other words, even though the Rabbanon in the case of Pirsha al Gabi Kli were Mekil, and that's fine. And your case is a case of Pirsh al Gabi Kli. But nevertheless, Shmuel Paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda, who was Machmir even in the case of Pirsh al Gabi Kli. Amole, so he, Rav Ashi responds, Lo Shmuele, I did not hear that Shmuel actually Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Klomar, Lo Svirle. So the Gemara says that sometimes when you say Lo Shmuele, it's sort of a diplomatic way of saying that I don't agree with it. Lo shmiele means I don't deherit, as we say in Yiddish. In other words, I don't agree that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, alternatively, and here Rashi comes up with a new approach to this Gemara. We'll see that Tosis is not so excited about it, but Rashi says that when he says lo svirole, it was not that he was rejecting the halacha as Shmuel formulated it, Kirab Yehuda, but rather what he rejected was the original statement of Rav Chisda that the machlokes is Pirsha al Gabi Kli. Lo svirle, I don't agree with that. I think the machlokes is in the case of Pirsh al Gabi Karka. And when Rabbi Yehuda was Machmir, he was only Machmir in the case where, according to Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, it's considered like a Nesina Mitchila, rather than a Hachzara. In the case of Pirsh al Gabi Kli, which was my situation where it fell on the pillow, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you can be Matir. So Rashi's learning that Eino Chinami, even Rav Ashi, embraced the opinion of Shmuel ruling like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and we will go l'chumra, but Rabbi Yehuda's chumra was only in the case where it was al gabi karka. And according to the Rabbanon, even when it falls on the karka, it's considered a hachzara, which, as we said before, is a milslo shchicha v'lo gozru bei Rabbanon. And it's not to be defined as a nesina mitchilasa. And the machlokas now is about the case of nofal gabi karka. In the case of nofal gabi kli, Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that's not called a nesina mitchila. So it's like a temporary situation where it was removed, it's right there on the table, just put it back on. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's mut. That's the way Rashi interprets this sugya of Lo Shmil. Now, Tosis Divri HaMaskel Ritia says that Rav Ashi, when he said Lo Shmile, what he wanted to do was he wanted to reject Shmuel, who paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rashi. So again, Rashi Shita was Lo Shmile means Enochinami, I agree, and I accept Shmuel's ruling like Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda only said it in the case of Karka, not in the case of Nofal Gabi Kli. Tosis is saying that what Rav Ashi is doing here is he's paskin like the Tanakama against Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav Ashi would agree to Rav Chisda that the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda is only in the case of Pirsh al Gabi Kli. Everybody agrees that Pirsh al Gabi Karka is considered a Nesina Mitchilosa, and it's Asur. But the machlokes is about the case of Nofal al Gabi, Pirsh al Gabi Kli. And here, Rav Ashi, as opposed to Rav Yehuda, says we should pass like the Chachamim against Rav Yehuda. Halacha kirabim velo ki yochid. And it's interesting that the Tosis Arush agrees with this Tosis, and he brings a proof to this Tosis. And two approaches to how to interpret this Gemara. All right, this brings us to the third Mishnah on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. And again, we're trying to define a Shvus D'Rabbanan by lowering it from a D'Oraisa, which would be a Melach Asura Afil B'Migdash, down to the level of a D'Rabbanan. And we're talking about Rabosa, you'll have to help me here. I'm going to use the word strings, but I know there's a more technical word for it. If you have a violin or a harp, what are those strings called? I think there's a fancy word for it. No? Anybody? Got to get out your thesaurus. Strings. What are they called?
Strings.
Strings? I'll tell you, if that's what he says in the English, then he's a little bit short, because there is a word, I just don't remember it. If you look up a violin in one of your Google searches, there'll probably be a fancy word for the strings of a violin. Let me just see it. The English, he says, it's only called a string. One second. Give me a second here. Where am I? Oh. What does he call it? String. Yeah, you're right. He calls it a string. All right, that's a disappointment. All right, I'm not a musician, so I took guitar when I was... If I had half the money my parents spent on guitar lessons, I'd be a rich man today. And I just dropped it, and now if you give me a guitar, I don't even know... I don't know what a B or a D or a C is. Okay, fine. Anyway. So the Mishnah says the following. Now, what we're really getting into is what's called Shira ala Karban. My Rebbe Zichron of Vracha used to always try to prove from this Mishnah in Erevin that Shira ala Karban is an essential part of the Karban itself. It's not a separate Kiyum and a separate Chiyuv. Even though, again, we're talking about the Levium as opposed to the Kohanim. So the Kohanim are exclusively in charge of the four Avodos. But the Shira that accompanied the Avodos HaKohanim, which was the Shira Salavim, I think, John, you're a Levi, right? So you'll be happy to know that this is an integral part of the Karban. It might not be Likuva, but it's an essential part of the Karban. Now, in the context of Shira Salavim, they were both vocalists and there were instrumentalists, right? So there were those who sung and there were those who played the instruments. And together, they formed a single individual entity of Shira ala Karban. And if we assume that Shira ala Karban is an integral part of the Karban, and such as a separate Chova Shira, then it would be Doche Shabbos. Because we have a principle, this entire chapter in Masechta Menachos, called Rabbi Shmuel, that is dedicated to the concept of Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato. So on Shabbos, we bring those korbanos that are what we call korbanos tzibur, and it's a zman kavua, and that overrides the Shabbos. If we assume that Shira, which again includes also the instrumentals, is part and parcel of the Avodas HaKarmon, that just like Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, so too any part of the Karmon, anything that's necessary, even if it's only L'chatchila, is Doche Shabbos. So if, let's say, one of the, okay, he calls it a string, I think this should be a fancier word for it, if one of the strings of the kinar, the kinar was a harp, I guess you'd say, and it was one of the various instruments that they played as part in the context of the Shiras Halavir, if it ripped, and he wants to retie it, then he could be Doche Shabbos and violate the Malach of Kshira for the sake of the Karma. I'll give you the classic example of what the Rav Zichron Levracha had in mind was not the case of Shira. It was the case of what's called Hekder Chalovim Ve'evarim. And the Gemara says that that Hekder Chalovim Ve'evarim, which is a malacha of Havara, where they burnt the fats, overrides the Shabbos. And this, despite the fact that that's the only avodah that can be done at night, which would mean in this context Motzi Shabbos. So there's no need to override the Shabbos. The karma will be perfectly kosher, even without, in the absence of Hekter Chalom Veivaru, because we could just postpone that till after Shabbos. But the Gemara says, Mitzvah Chaviva Le B'Shaita, that the best time to do the Srefa Naktara of the Evarim is right after the Zrikas Hadam. Even though, again, nothing is lost if we postpone until after Shabbos, yet it overrides the Shabbos. So the Rav used to always say that we see from there that anything that's part of the Karban, even if it's only an enhancement to the Karban, it's not critical for the Karban, overrides the Shabbos, and Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato is a heter that is broad-scoped and includes anything that is part and parcel, that is an integral part of the carbon. All right. So the Mishnah therefore says, and we're talking about one of the strings of a Nemo, one of the strings of the kinar got ripped on Shabbos, is Koshrim Nima B'Migdash. We're allowed to tie this string of the kinar that ripped on Shabbos, and that's only for the sake of the kinoros shemenagnim es hashir al hakarbon. So again, we're talking about the avodas halavim, and these were the mishorim, right? There were other levim that were in charge of they were called the mishorim. They were in charge of the gates, and they were the gatekeepers, but we're talking about the mishorim. And this took place, this Shira took place at the time of Nisuch Hayayin Be'olos HaTzibur, and the Olos HaTzibur were brought twice a day, even on Shabbos. And the Rambam insists that you need at least a minimum of 12 Levim that are standing on what we call the Dukhan, and they're reciting the Shira. And in addition, there were, beyond the 12 Levim, there were other Levim. The Rambam doesn't specify how many. He says that there was a minimum of 9 kinoros that had to be played, and they would be menagen during the Shira. So all this is codified in the Rambam Klei HaMikdash Perek Gimel. Okay, So again, let's just summarize. Kshira, as we know it, is one of the 39 malachas. It's an av malacha. It's a doraisa. And yet, we're going to allow the menagnim to violate meleches kshira on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash because it is an extension of the avoda of the karbon. And therefore it overrides the Shabbos. Now he has here two qualifications here in the Masifta. First of all, he says, it's got to be what's called the Efshar Lasoso Me'erev Shabbos. In other words, since this happened and it ripped on Shabbos, therefore it was impossible for him to have done this on Erev Shabbos. If it was Efshar Lasoso Me'erev Shabbos, then we have a klal of Rabbi Akiva, which is in two places. It's at the end of Masechta Shabbos. It's also in the sugya of Karban Pesach in Pesachim. Klal om Rabbi Akiva, kol malacha she'efshar la'asoso me'erev Shabbos, eino doches ha'Shabbos. But he'efshar la'asoso me'erev Shabbos, doches ha'Shabbos. So if we have a malacha and it's impossible to do that malacha on Erev Shabbos, like for example, we have the case of Shchitas HaKorbonos, or for example, we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Mila on the eighth day of Shabbos, which is Docha Shabbos, because you couldn't do the Mila on Friday, it's the eighth day, Friday would be the seventh day, and therefore, it's Docha Shabbos. So Mila is Docha Shabbos, and Korbonos are Docha Shabbos, and now we're adding the Kshira of the Nema, of this string of the kinor. And he writes here, B'mitzius, kara mikresh and nikra nemas hatzi hakinor b'shabes atzmo v'loha yonitan l'sakna me'esmo. Okay. Now, he quotes here of a Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish asks the following question. He says, when Rabbi Akiva says that we exclude from this klal a malacha she'efshar la'asoso me'erev Shabbos, does Rabbi Akiva have in mind the metzius, or is he talking about the theoretical possibility? If you're talking about the Mitzius, then this case where it was Nikra, Nemas, Hakino, B'Shabbos, Atzma, Z'Efshar, La'Sosa, Me'erev Yontif. But if what Rabbi Akiva means is that there's a certain day that was designated, the Karban has to be Shechted today on Shabbos, the Mila has to be implemented today on Shabbos, but the Kshira of the Nema Shenikra, that has nothing to do with Shabbos. It's just the Metzius was that it happened to have ripped on Shabbos. That makes it Yefshar. So when Rabbi Akiva says Yefshar is Eina Docha Shabbos, I'm sorry, if it would have been Efshar, it's not Docha Shabbos, Efshar Bier of Shabbos. Is he talking about the Metzius, or is he talking about the concept itself on an abstract level, meaning that it is a din in Shabbos? The Malach has to be done on Shabbos because that's the nature of that malach. That malach has to be done on Shabbos. That's what I wanted to point out over here. Okay. Let me just see if did I cover that? Yeah. Oh. Okay. Now we have a second very important point. And this is also in the same two sugyas in Shabbos Kuf Lamed, Pesachim Samach Vav. And there, you may recall, it wasn't all that long ago that we learned Shabbos Kuf Lamed. You may recall that there's a sugya called Machshirei Mitzvah, which means the following. that I understand full well that the shechita of a karbon overrides the Shabbos. I understand full well that the chituch of mila overrides the Shabbos. And if you would ask me, are we allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos? I would say that in the Migdash, in the context of the Shira of the Levim, the answer is a definite yes. But if you ask me, am I allowed to create a kinar on Shabbos? Let's say that it's the Efshemir of Shabbos. There was no possibility of creating this kinar. We'll go with that side in the Chazon Ish that it's all totally in the Mitzvah. So it was impossible in this Mitzvah to create a kinar. Would I be allowed to manufacture a kinar on Erev Shabbos? Can I create a sakin shel shechita on Shabbos? Can I tie a knot to fix up the string of the kinar on Shabbos? That comes under a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Elias and the Chachamim regarding machshirei mitzvah. And our Mishnah that permits tikun hakinoros is of the opinion that machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos. Again, if it's yefshar b'erev Shabbos, that tikun kinoros is a machshirei mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah per se. The mitzvah per se is the music. So that's point number one. Point number two, we have a machlokas at the end of Masechta Sukkah as to whether Ikar Shiras HaLeviim B'Kli or Ikar Shiras HaLeviim B'Peh. Now let's take the Madi Omar who holds Ikar Shira B'Peh. And the Gemara says in Sukkah that the musical or instrumental accompaniment is called Levasem es kol hamishorim. It only embellishes the song, the verbal singing of the Kohen, of the Levium, excuse me. And Tosus here, not here, but in Sukkah says that our sugya, our Tana, must be holding that Ikar Shira B'Kli, Kli means Af B'Kli, meaning that it's not that the kli and a musical accompaniment is just an accompaniment. It's just to embellish the mitzvah of Shira B'Peh, but rather it's part and parcel of the Ikar HaMitzvah. So that's the sheet of Tosis at the end of Sukkah. So I want to keep this in mind because Rav Soloveitchik has a lot of chidushim on this particular Tosfos. Again, it's not here, but it's the end of Sukkah. But nevertheless, Tosfos' shita is that our Tana holds, number one, machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos, and number two, ikar shira b'kli. Again, it's a little bit confusing when we say Ikar Shira B'Kli. It doesn't really mean literally that the mitzvah is Kli. The mitzvah is Shira B'Peh, that those were the Meshorim. But that the playing of the instruments was not just some sort of an embellishment of the mitzvah, but separate as a separate Chovas Leviim, but rather it's integral to the mitzvah of Shira HaLeviim. Then, of course, the Mishnah continues, Avalo b'medina. Right outside the Mikdash, you're violating a Melacha d'Oraisa of Kshira. How can we allow that on Shabbos? You know, I appreciate that you'd like to play, you know, you'd like to play the violin or the harp on Shabbos. You know, it enhances your Shabbos mood, but it's a Melacha d'Oraisa. Not the playing, but the fixing up of the kinar. If you don't mind, I'm just going to make a comment here. It has nothing to do with the sugya. But I'm a big fan of a fellow by the name of Loewy. His first name was Emmanuel. I don't know if you ever heard of him. In fact, I have Svarim that he owned. He lived about a century ago. And if you've ever been to Budapest, I don't know why the Nazis, there's a history here, but they left a gigantic synagogue called the Dahani Shul. If you want to visit it, take some money along because they charge you for an entrance fee. Anyway, I was a little upset about that. But the Rav of that Dahani Shul was Emmanuel Loewy about 100 years ago. He was a tremendous scholar. And in Dr. Chaim's class, if you took his class in Zroim and you didn't look up what he had to say about the Sugya in Zroim that you were learning, he threw you out of class. In any event, in his synagogue and many other synagogues, both in Hungary and elsewhere, they had an organ play on Friday night. Now, I did my research and I read testimony that Rav Emmanuel Loewy was makbid that as soon as they said Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, they closed the organs. Now, why do I tell you this story? Back in the day, this was very controversial. In fact, that whole movement of synagogues, you know, like in America, we call that modern Orthodox, if you've heard that term, which I never knew exactly what that means. In England, they have United Synagogue, etc., etc. You know, then if you go to the West in America, they have what they call traditional synagogues. Then you have conservative synagogues. I mean, it goes from one end to the other. We slice it. So in Hungary, they had a movement of synagogues where they played the organ on Friday night. Neologue. Now, amongst the neologues, there were the Frommer, you know, the real right-wing neologues. And then there were the middle-of-the-road neologues. So the middle-of-the-road was, they felt that, you know, the organ is nishkefelach, you know, was not played by a Jew, and it would enhance the sound of the music, you know, of the davening, and they wanted to daven to the organ music. But the real frumers amongst the neologue, like this Emmanuel Loewy, they were very makpid that there was no playing of the organ as soon as they were Mekabel Shabbos. So the reason I tell you this is because it's an amazing thing that the Jewish people, like any other people on the face of the earth, have a tremendous love and appreciation for music. To the extent in which they felt that the music would enhance their Kabbalah Shabbos. Because music brings out the most basic emotions of a person. It's sort of like, you know, those who are into music, if the music is good, it will encompass the whole personality, you know, from head to toe. It's an overwhelming experience, the totality of a person. And Shabbos is also meant to, you know, bring out all the emotional attachments to the Shekhinah. And music is a great accompaniment. So it doesn't surprise me that there was a movement, like a grassroots movement through Jewish history, especially in Eastern Europe, in the modern, relatively modern history, to really want to introduce music into the Shabbos service. But again, you know, Chazal put their foot down and we don't play cliché. You know, we're afraid he might fix it like in our case. You know, he's fixing up the kli because the name of Rip. Okay, anyway, that's just on the side. Okay, now we didn't finish the Mishnah yet. And the Mishnah says the following. V'im b'tchila kan v'kan osur. Let's say you had a kinar, and it was missing one of its strings. So he on Shabbos wants to establish and add that string and attach it to the kinar. That's also even in the Migdash. Because that's already Efshar Lasosa Me'erev Shabbos. And here's where we prove what we said initially, that this Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that very famous Klal, that if this could have been done on Erev Shabbos, then it's not Docha Shabbos. And here's a case which clearly could have been done on Erev Shabbos. So, for example, Hashchazas Sakin. You need this knife for Shechita of Karbonos on Shabbos, Ola Shabbos. You could have sharpened the knife on Erev Shabbos. It's not going to be Docha Shabbos. You could have put the extra string, the necessary string that was missing, into the Kinar on Erev Shabbos. It's not Docha Shabbos. Which will mean, in effect, that one of the Kinaros is out of commission on Shabbos. Hopefully we have another 9 Kinaros. This was just number 10. And if it's the only, you know, let's say such a situation would happen in a way that there are no Kinaros, then Iker Shira Bepeh, and will be Yotze the Mitzvah of Shira with the vocalists without the instrumentalists. Okay. So that brings us to the Gemara. Now again, just to review that part of the Mishnah that's most relevant to us now, the Mishnah says that if the Neimah rips on Shabbos, and you want to fix up the Neimah, and therefore the Kinar, by making a Kshira, then you're allowed to do so. For Minu, I'll ask you Kashmir Braisa, the Braisa says, Nimas Kinar, Shenifsika. In other words, it ripped on Shabbos. Lohaya Koshra Ela Onva. We're not going to override the Shabbos. We'll allow you to do an aniva. Again, that's a hopshot, you know, that's a slopshot way of doing it. In other words, maybe you'll get a couple of sounds out of it. But it's only in a bow. We're not going to allow you to tie a knot. And the premise that underlies this brisa is what we call Machshire Mitzvah Einam Dochem Es HaShabbos. So if I have a sakin, and I needed to fix up the sakin on Erev Shabbos and I failed to do so, then it doesn't override the Shabbos. Not only that, we're going even a step further in this brisa. We're saying that even if it ripped on Shabbos, and there was no way possible that he could have fixed it up on Erev Shabbos, it still does not override the Shabbos. We'll allow Aniva, if we hold Aniva is not Kikshira, which is coming up in the Sugya, but we're not going to allow Kshira. And the reason for that is because Machshirei Mitzvah Einam Dochem Es HaShabbos, even in a case of Yefshal Asosa Erev Shabbos. That's the opinion that's reflected here in the Braisa. As we said before, that's Machlokas Tanoim in Masechta Shabbos and also Masechta Pesachim, whether or not we override the Shabbos for the sake of Machshirei Mitzvah, like in the case of Mila, if he doesn't have an Izmal, is he allowed to carry an Izmal from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid in order to perform the Mila? That's the only way he could do the Mila for whatever reason. And the answer is no. The Tanakama here, the Tana of this Bryce, I should say, who's the Tanakama of the Mishnah in Psochim, holds that Machshire Mitzvah Einam Dochem Es HaShabbos. And that's what the Gemara says now, Lokasha HaRabbonon VeHaRabbi Eliezer. It means the following, that even though the avoda of a korban tzibur, if it's a Shabbos avoda, Shabbos korban is docha Shabbos, that's explicit in the Torah, but nevertheless, as far as being docha Shabbos for machshire avoda, for that which is a necessary prerequisite in order to get the instrument that I need in order to perform the avoda, that is not docha Shabbos, at least not according to the Rabbanon. And the Gemara is going to quote the Rabbanon immediately. But Rabbi Eliezer would hold that even Machshirim Adocha Shabbos, our Mishnah here in Erevin reflects the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, which is absolutely fascinating, by the way, because it's a Stam Mishnah Ki Rabbi Eliezer. And it's a Machlokas V'yachakach Stam, because the Machlokas itself appears earlier in Masechta Shabbos, and now Rabbi Yudah Nasi was so same. The problem is that we have to deal with the Masechta Pesachim, which is already another record of this Machlokas. But be that as it may, we have now a Stam Mishnah here at Erevin reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore we're allowed not only to tie an Aniva, a bow, to fix up this key. Now we can even tie a regular bona fide knot, kesher al gabi kesher, kesher shel kayoma. It fits in all the conditions that an essay from Aleches Kosher Doraisa, and it's considered machshirei mitzvah hadoches haShabbos, hadochem haShabbos. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer reflected in our Mishnah.
According to the Chacham, there's a possibility then that they could have more carbonus on Shabbos. Let's see, all the sakinim had a begima.
Right.
So they couldn't shecht anything?
As far as I know, that is correct. L'Rabbi Eliezer Dov Machshirim Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos Kosher. Our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. You're allowed to tie a full knot for the sake of the carbon, because this is part of the Avodas HaKarbon. It's only Machshirim. Machshirim Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos. L'Rabbonan Diamri, Machshirim Mitzvah Enom Dochem Es HaShabbos is Onva. Which means he's not allowed to do kshira, as we saw in the Braisa, he can only do aniv. So Gemara asks, E Rabbi Eliezer, if our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which means the Machshir Mitzvah Dochus HaShabbos, is Afilu Chatchila Nami, the Mishnah said explicitly in the Sefer that Bitchila Kan V'Kan Asur. So we're talking about a case where he's missing a string on the kinar, and he needs to put it in and establish it in the kinar on Shabbos, and he's not allowed to do that. And the reason why the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that is because machshirei mitzvah are not dochas haShabbos. But you just finished telling me that kshir is mutter, reflecting Rabbi Eliezer, because machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos. Now, if machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos, then even if he's missing a neimah, he's missing one of the strings, he should be allowed to establish that string. So now the Gemara backtracks. Ella, our Mishnah is not reflecting Rabbi Eliezer, because if Rabbi Eliezer was the author of our Mishnah, he'd be matir even the case of tchila. But rather, it is the Rabbanan. Lo kasha. Now we have to find a different alternative answer to the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And the answer is the following. Ha Rabbi Yehuda veha Rabbanan. What does this mean? That now we're getting into the issue of Aniva. Okay, now let me just add something here that's important. He says the following. There's a difference between the neimah that rips on Shabbos and the harp that's missing a neimah, and you want to put the neimah in on Shabbos. So we're going to say the following. That if the neimah was missing, and he wants to put it in on Shabbos, that's called, as we mentioned, Rabbi Akiva's principle, Efshar Lasosa Me'erev Shabbos. So we can really hold now that even the Rabbanon of Rabbi Eliezer agree that Machshiri Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos. The Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanon is about the case where he wants to carry an Izmal from one Rishus to the other in order to perform the Milah. Well, that's Efshal HaSosad Erev Shabbos. Here's where the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. If that be the case, then we understand very well, I'm just trying to work out the mathematics here, we understand very well that if the neimah rips on Shabbos, then Kshira is permissible. I emphasize, Kshira, full-fledged Kshira is permissible, even according to the Rabbanan. Why? Because the Rabbanan hold that Machshirei Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos in a case of Yefshel Asosim Ibojo. Hence, the Mishnah concludes by saying that if the Nehmah was missing Bitchila, which means on Erev Shabbos, now we're going to apply the principle of the Rabbanan that Machshirei Mitzvah Einom Dochem Es HaShabbos because it was Efshar LaSosam Ibojo. Okay. That's as far as the Mishnah is concerned. Now we have a Braisa, and the Braisa insists on Aniva. So now the question is, was it a case, I'm sorry, is the Braisa addressing a case, A, where the Nehmah ripped on Shabbos, or B, where he was missing a Nehmah? Now the language of the Braisa is clearly Nifsika. Nifsika means that it ripped on Shabbos. So if it ripped on Shabbos, it becomes Machshir Mitzvah She'efshal Asosam Ibojo. Why then does the Braisa insist that he do an Aniva rather than a Kshira? So the Gemara answers, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, and Ha Rabbanan. So let's see, now we have to juggle it. Ha v'ha, you know, the Mishnah and the Braisa. So let's go this direction. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, means that our Mishnah that allows Kshira reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Which might mean that there's no difference whatsoever as far as Shabbos, as far as Malachas Kosher is concerned, whether you do a Kshira of a double knot, or you do an aniva. So once you're going to tell me that we could be docha Shabbos for the sake of machshirei mitzvah, if it's yefshar la'asosim yerev Shabbos, then basically our Mishnah is saying you gain absolutely nothing by preferring, by recommending aniva as opposed to kshira. And therefore, if you want to do the best job possible to improve and fix up this kinar, you might as well do kshira. And there's no gain or benefit by substituting aniva for kshira. Veha, but our braisa that insists on aniva, that's the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan say the following, that although machshirei mitzvah she efshal asoso mi erev Shabbos are docha Shabbos, but that's only in a case where the mitzvah could only be fulfilled by violating the Shabbos. If right, so that's called dechia, right? There's a dechia of Shabbos for the sake of enhancing the mitzvah. And again, I don't know if this is going to apply to shechita in a karba because that's already the mitzvah itself. That's not machshirei mitzvah. But at least as far as machshirei mitzvah is concerned, the principle here is dechia. What do I mean by dechia? Dechia, and this is, by the way, happens to be a sugya that I'm teaching now once a week, Wednesday nights. You're invited to join in Yuma. We're talking about whether tuma hutra b'tzibur or nidchasa b'tzibur. But if you hold tuma dechuya b'tzibur, what it means is that you have to stand on your head and try to see if you can fulfill your mitzvah without violating the Torah. That's called dechia. So let's say you have various kohanim in the mishmar. Some of them contracted tuma, and some of them are tahorim. So we're going to do the avoda with the tahorim. That's if you hold tumah dechuya betzibur. Here also, you have two options to salvage this neimah that ripped on Shabbos and the kinar that you need for the shiras halevim. One is a malacha that violates the Shabbos, and the other is an aniva which doesn't violate the Shabbos, because the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda hold that aniva is not included in kshira. Since you have another option, even though it's the efshal asosa of Erev Shabbos, we're not going to override the Shabbos, because that's called dechuya. Now again, I just re-emphasize the same point I made before. We're talking about machshirei mitzvah. It could be that in the mitzvah itself, we're going to apply the principle of hutra. But since we're not dealing with the mitzvah, we're dealing with setting up the kinar as a machshir for the mitzvah, then we're going to say dechuya, and the rabbanon are going to say that you have to take up the option of aniva, because by doing so, you circumvent the necessity of violating the Shabbos. It's just amazing how the Gemara has vacillated from one extreme to the other. Initially, the Gemara thought that there's no way that the Rabbanon of Rabbi Eliezer would allow you to do a kshira on Shabbos. Our Mishnah that allows kshira on Shabbos in the case of the Neimah must be reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Because Machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos. Nein, says the Gemara. Machshirei mitzvah dochem es haShabbos. Our Mishnah reflects the sheet of the Chachamim. The problem would be in the Sefer of Bitchila, which already is a case of Efshal Asosimi Erev Shabbos. The Gemara is now activating the principle of Rabbi Akiva that Machshirei mitzvah Efshal Asosam be Erev Shabbos Einom dochem es haShabbos. Hence, if this kinar was missing one of its namos, then it would not override the Shabbos. Again, keep in mind, we're not talking about a kinar that's on Shabbos that's perfectly usable. I mean, it's missing a namo. You're not going to get a note out of this kinar. And makshir and mitzvah dochem es haShabbos. But not if it's efshal asosa mi'erev Shabbos. I mean, here you see, you know, you hear vibrations of the Chazon Ish that we mentioned before, that it's really the theoretical definition of Efshal Asosam Yerv Shabbos. Now it's already Efshal Asosam Shabbos. I mean, we're not punishing him with a knas and a penalty because he was lazy and he ignored his responsibility to fix up the kinar in Erev Shabbos. That's not what we're saying over here. What we're saying is that we're defining this Machshirei Mitzvah in such a way that it's a category that could not override the Shabbos. Why? Because it's bitchila, meaning on Erev Shabbos, it could have been taken care of. The kilkul and the tikkun could have been implemented, well, the kilkul was implemented on Erev Shabbos, and the tikkun could have been in that very theoretical possibility. Oh, so now we squared with the Mishnah. The Mishnah, both Reish and Sefer, reflect the Sheet of Chachamim. The difference between the Reish and the Sefer is whether it's Efshar Lasosa Miber of Shabbos or Efshar Lasosa. But now we get to the Braisa. And the Bryce is talking about a case of Nifzika. Nifzika is EF Shalasosa Me'erev Shabbos. And therefore, according to Rabbanon, in the new formulation, that Makshir Mitzvah, she EF Shalasosa Me'erev Shabbos, Dochem Es HaShabbos, why does the Bryce insist on Aniva? And the answer is because this Bryce reflects the Sheet of the Chachamim in Aniva against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda equates Aniva with Kshira. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say that if it's Nifzika on Shabbos, Nikra on Shabbos, it's the Efshal Asosa Me'erev Shabbos, then there's absolutely no difference between Kshira and Aniva. And if they're Docha Shabbos, then you might as well do it the right way and do it with Kshira. He doesn't mention a word about Aniva. But the Rabbanan hold that Aniva completely circumvents the violation of Melechas Kshira Doraisa. And therefore, this is not Docha Shabbos, because Machshirei Mitzvah is Docha Shabbos when you need to be Docha Shabbos. When that malacha, you know, if the non-violation of that malacha sets up a barrier in which makes it impossible for you to do the mitzvah. But if you can do the mitzvah without violating the Shabbos, then we don't apply the din of Dechiyah. That's what we have here in the sugya. Now, if you can stay for another 2 minutes, that's up to you. I just want to see if we can get to Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, which we're very close to. And the Gemara says the following. Now the Gemara comes back and asks another kash. In other words, the Braisa is very nice, the way you interpret it. In other words, Kesher Aniva is Mutter. And therefore, we're gonna allow you to do the Aniva Kesher in order to put together this Nema of the Kinor. We're not going to allow you to do a Kshira. Oh. So the Gemara says the following. V'Rabbi Yehuda Aliba Deman. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, that you said our Mishnah reflects his Shita, is Aliba Deman. Which Shita does he hold in the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon about Machshirei Mitzvah? Here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. V'i Aliba. Wait a minute, I think I skipped something. Just 1 second. Yeah, Aliba Deman. I Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer Kamar. If Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, who does not make any distinction between Aniva and Kshira, and he allows Kshira, it's because he holds, like Rabbi Eliezer, is Afilu Lechatchila Nami. The Gemara holds now that according to Rabbi Eliezer, and we said that even the Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Eliezer's basic principle of Machshir Mitzvah Dochas HaShabbos, just that the Rabbanan say, well, it was Efshel HaSosa, why didn't you bring the Ismail on Erev Shabbos? Comes along Rabbi Eliezer and he says, no. Even if you could have brought the Ismail on Erev Shabbos, we will override the Shabbos, because Machshir Mitzvah Dochas HaShabbos, even in a case of Efshel HaSosa, may Erev Shabbos. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer, as far as that point is concerned, then in the case of Nikra HaNema, we understand very well that that's the Efshel HaSosim Erev Shabbos, but even in the case of Bitchila, we should be able to be Matir, because it's Machshirei Mitzvah, albeit She Efshel HaSosim Erev Shabbos, but we're holding now like Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, the Gemara is going to have to take a different approach in order to understand the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Just read to you the English note over here. He says, whose opinion does Rabbi Yehuda, if we propose that he's the Tana of a Mishnah, follow on the question of mitzvah preparations, Machshirei Mitzvah, Dochem es HaShabbos? Is he accepting Rabbi Eliezer or the Rabbanan? He must be accepting Rabbi Eliezer's view, since the Mishnah rules that he can repair a string by tying it with a knot. And if he follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, then even inserting the string for the first time should also be allowed, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that mitzvah preparations override the laws of Shabbos, even if they could have been attended to on Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah, however, rules to the contrary, and therefore cannot be resolved by stating that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because whichever way Rabbi Yehuda holds on the issue of mitzvah preparations, the Mishnah is incompatible with his opinion. So let's go back just for one moment as we end the shir, El Elokasha, here on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. The contradiction poses no difficulty. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, right, the ruling in our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, holds that there's no distinction between regular knots and bows, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't distinguish between them. Ha Rabbanan, and this ruling, the one in the Braisa, reflects the opinion of the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, who hold that only regular knots are prohibited on Shabbos, but not bows. Therefore, since the string can be repaired, with a mere bow, one is forbidden to tie it with a regular knot. So, according to this answer, both the Mishnah and the Braisa accept the view that Machshirei Mitzvah override the Shabbos. The difference between them is contingent upon the machlokus of whether tying a bow is included in the biblically forbidden category labor of kosher. The rabbis hold that a bow is unlike regular knots and is permitted. Therefore, one who repairs the string of a musical instrument must use a bow instead of violating the Shabbos. Okay, so we'll stop here on the top of Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph. And I wish you all a Chag Sameach.